Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you making this podcast part of your day. Make sure you subscribe if you want more and leave us some feedback. Away we go.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
Well, I asked Trent Bray, the Oregon State football coach, earlier, more fun to be a coach or a player? Spring football? He says, coach, because players want to play games. How do you make it fun? Our next guest may have some ideas there. Pac-12 Network analyst, former college football player in the Pac-12, former coach, both in the Pac-12 as an assistant and the head coach of Portland State, Nigel Burton, man of the world, joining us right now. How do you make spring football fun if you're a coach?
Oh, you've seen all the videos, John, where you got the offensive linemen catching punts and, water balloon fights and all that kind of stuff. All the stuff that that I'm not sure you would do during camp. Those are the things that you do to make it fun. But we'll have fun this Saturday when we're calling the game for the Pac-12 Network. I think I'll be down on the sideline. I'm going to see if I can. The last time I was talking about Trent was when he was a linebackers coach, I think, at Wazoo. And I told a bad story about one of his games as a player. So I'm sure Trent will give you plenty of grief about telling that story. So it'll be a good deal. Yeah.
We just had him on. He's all football. He's all business. I'm trying to, as an interviewer, get him off his game, talk to him about philosophy and history and whatever else, to get him. But, man, when I asked him about coaching defensive backs, coaching linebackers, coaching defensive tackles, how different it was, he came out like the sunshine. You know him. He's all football. And that's what he knows. It's what he loves. It's what he consumes. It's what he thinks. He is a football guy.
No question. You know what, though? You know what's funny is, though, I look at the guys who've been through – Oregon State and done well at Oregon State, whether it's Trent, Keith Hayward, Ryan Gunderson, Brent Brennan, who's now at Arizona, the head coach there. Like, you look at all the guys who, especially guys who were around when Coach Riley was coaching, all of them, as much as it was about like, hey, I'm a ball coach, they all kind of came to this thing, though, that it was also much more about the players and, just making sure they have good experiences, that they know they're cared about, like all those different things. And so as much as, Trent wants to give off the persona, hey, I'm a ball coach and I'll stay in my office, and he's starting to get a little gray hair I'm noticing on the sides, a little bit that I gave him grief for when I saw him the other day. In his heart of hearts, he wants those kids to have good experiences, good college experiences. He and I talked about, there's a particular big time quarterback that was in the former Pac-12, which, we'll still be doing those spring games. And the kid had never taken a class on campus. And he and I probably sat for about 5 minutes talking about how much he's going to regret that as an adult when he finally moves on, because he's missing the beauty of being in college and interacting with other students. And Trent was the one who brought up, like, just all the things you learn being outside the athletic department and just meeting people who are from different walks of life than yourself. And I was like, you just gave your tell, dude. You care about way more than football. Look what you just did there, But anyway, yeah, he's a heck of a football coach, but he's got a good heart, and his heart's in the right place.
What do you make of a kid like Damian Martinez getting $400,000 at Oregon State and that not being enough to glue him to Oregon State?
It obviously, it's disheartening. And I think the hardest part is kind of how the whole thing went down. And now you got kind of accusations and you got this situation where here's a guy that was probably going to have, if not a statue, he was going to have, like, there was going to be something. There was going to be a picture of him somewhere in that stadium, because the one thing that Oregon State fans love more than anything else, they might even love it more than winning, is loyalty. They love that. And, I was joking around that I probably get just as much love in Corvallis as I do in Seattle. Maybe even more. I don't know. I'll be honest with you. and I played at UW because of the couple of times it was rumored I was leaving, and I decided to stay as a coach. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's funny, like, you know, it was a decision I made, what was best for my family at the time and the things that I was thinking. But to watch Beaver fans, you know, when I'm walking around the stadium, or, you know, Bob DeCarolis was still there, and we were walking around, you know, old, you know, Civic, or, you know, whatever they did, Geldwin / PG / all the different things they call it now, Providence. And Beaver fans yelling, you know, hey, all these different things. Beaver fans appreciate loyalty, and they appreciate, you know, that means a ton to them. And so more than probably the average place. And so I think, you know, that's the thing that just really bums me out about the whole situation.
Pac-12 Network obviously has some live sporting events, including the spring games coming up this Saturday, Oregon State among them, baseball tournament coming up in May. But you've been part of that family, and that era, at least for the time being, seems to be coming to a close, at least with the live sports programming. What are your thoughts on sort of that run and being part of it and all the good people you got to work with?
The greatest job I ever had in my life. I mean, it wasn't even a job. Like, Nick Aliotti and I used to laugh. Like, he would always, you know, he had a raspy voice, you know, Nige, you know, sometimes I think we might be stealing over here, you know. I'm like, hey, if you just keep your mouth shut, we could probably keep doing it. it's like, man, let me get this straight. Like, you're paying me to fly to games that I'd probably be watching anyway, stand on the field with these unbelievable people who are just such good human beings. And you're paying me to talk ball. Like, are you kidding me? Like, this is a dream. And I think the part that, you know, I think you and I talked about this before, was the part that's so hard is, you know, we're not Fox, Pac-12 Network's not ESPN, it's not all these others. And obviously, you know, people have their issues with the streaming and the distribution. That has nothing to do with the people who are actually at the games, busting their butt to give as good of a product as we could. Mm-hmm. And because we had less, it kind of, you know, brought all these people together. Like, you know, there, I can't tell you how many times it's like, you know, Coach Aliotti's getting sandwiches for people, and, you know, there's somebody in studio who, you know, has to run a camera, and so, like, we're running back to go grab them. Like, it's just, you know, being in those trenches with those people, it just created this sense of team and family, and nobody worried about, well, that's not my job. You know what I mean? And what that does to a group of people. And so, you know, yeah, this is kind of the last. I got three weeks of a run, and it is, man. It brought me to tears in the fall. I'm not gonna well up again. That ain't happening. So if you're tuning in to see if that jerk will cry again, that ain't happening. But it's a sad end. But, you know, there's gonna be something, some iteration out there.
Sure.
So that Beaver fans and Cougar fans can continue to watch their teams, and then we'll see kind of what happens in the future.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm being told by sources that the CW could be where Oregon State and Washington State games, likely where Oregon State and Washington State football games will end up, but the Pac-12 network may produce those games. So there still may be some production and some on-air roles there. We're talking to Nigel Burton, college football coach, college football player, Pac-12 Network analyst. When you go into a spring game, like you're going to the spring showcase Saturday at Research Stadium, what are you looking for as a fan, as a former coach, as a former player? What kinds of things are you looking for?
You know, I just want to see competition. I want to see, you know, obviously you're going to be, you've got your ones. I want to know, can the twos hang with the ones? Like, that's when you know you got yourself a heck of a ball club. You know, do you have two quarterbacks that can sling it? Do you have a stable of running backs? Do you have, you know, good offensive and defensive lines where guys are really battling out, where you might see a quarterback under pressure and then, you know, but the offensive line's being able to, you know, maybe move some guys off the ball. You know, I think this iteration of this team for next year for Oregon State, I love their running back room. You know, they've got, you know, some transfers in from Colorado and things. I think that room is going to be just fine, even without Damian Martinez. You know, you're talking about a receiver core that was one of the deepest, the offensive line that was one of the deepest in the country. You know, those guys are going to have to reload. I think there's some guys who may or may not play on Saturday that I think will be exciting for Beaver fans. You know, they probably won't have the ability to just blow people off the ball the way that they have been in the last couple of years. But I think that's where Ryan Gunderson's, you know, system, bringing it from UCLA, where they're going to formation you to death and shift and motion you to death and, you know, try to go with tempo and all the different things that Chip does that drive people crazy. I think those things will help benefit this offense. And then, you know, defensively, they've got some guys now on defense. It was fun to watch. And I think that's not going to change a whole lot. You know, even with, you know, Keith Hayward as defensive coordinator and some of the things he's bringing from the NFL, I think there's going to be a lot of good things around this program in the fall.
It's super important that Oregon State is good next year, maybe. And it's a really hard thing to do because here comes, you know, it's a new head coach and you're playing against different competition. And you've been on staffs that, you know, when there's some turnover or a new head coach taking on a new job, what are we not thinking about as media members and maybe fans aren't thinking about as it pertains to the degree of difficulty with a first-time, first-year head coach?
You know, it's always hard. I don't think there's a tougher time to be a new head coach than right now. I don't think it's a tougher time to be a Division I coach, period. I mean, you throw in the transfer portal, NIL, just the normal just wear and tear of seasons and kids and all those different things, recruiting. I mean, it's, you don't know who's on your team, John. Like, these guys don't know who's on their team. I'm sitting there, you know, talking to the guy. I went to Arizona's practice because I was down in the area, and all these, and these guys are like, I think he's going to be here, but there's a second window that opens April 15th to the 30th. I don't even know if he's going to be here. He might just take off. Like, I mean, it's just like, it's utter pandemonium. And then when you think about the fact that most programs for survival, right, to make sure that they don't have any violations, have broken off the NIL piece, right, the name, image, and likeness piece that is so critical to keeping some of your pieces, that it's like, it's almost like they're negotiating with, like this is pro football now. It's like they're negotiating with the GM on whether they're going to still be on my team. I'm the coach who's ultimately responsible for the roster that I don't know, is it still going to be intact or not? Like, it has to just be a mind-blowing experience. Not that it wasn't difficult already. This just doesn't even make any sense. And so, you know, you're dealing with 18-year-old kids and mommies and daddies who, you know, my Billy's super special, so he should get this, and not understanding who else is out there. I mean, it's, I don't envy any of them. I don't envy, I think I'm just going to stay in my basement and watch movies. That makes no sense.
You will not be in your basement.
Hey, at least I got my camp. That keeps me, like, if I get any sixth graders saying that they need a deal to come to my camp, then that's when I'll be done with the camp too, because I won't know what to do anymore.
Yeah, nobody's getting out of the portal in the camp. July 22nd, you've done this thing, 13th annual camp, Nigel Burton Football Camp, third graders through eighth graders, Jesuit High School. Is this a 1 day camp? Is it a 1 weekend? What are you doing now?
You know, we've done 4 days the last couple of years, because we always figured out by Fridays in the summer, everybody's trying to take off and go somewhere. So it's Monday through Thursday. We're going to go in the morning because it's in July and that can be a little warmer. But we've just had such a great, I mean, we've had so many big time guys. Lincoln Kennedy comes almost every year. Joey Harrington, Michael James, the Rogers brothers have been there. Like, you know, and I try not to put on there who's going to be there, because you just, you know, never know what people's schedules. But we always have a few guest, you know, appearances. We have NFL coaches have been at the camp. And then we have student athletes from all around the city who also help run the camp. And it's just such a good time, you know. And we try to have about a third of the camp sponsored, so that, you know, price is never an issue. So, you know, please email us. You can go to NigelBurtonFootballCamps.com. Or NBFC for Nigel Burton Football Camps, information@gmail.com. And, you know, if cost is prohibitive, we can get sponsors to take care of kids to come and just enjoy the game, learn. The part that's just been so cool over the years is, you know, you'll end up, you know, I've had guys who've gone on and played in the NFL, true story, who were at the camp when they were little, to the point, doing it for so long. And just seeing guys, you know, from just kids from different parts of the city, different states, you know, kind of become buddies, and they're hanging out and just, you know, it's kind of all the things we envision. The beauty of college football is it brings all these people from, different races, religions, socioeconomic backgrounds, puts them together and says, okay, you guys have to work together as a team. And just watching that beautiful process happen with little kids is just awesome. So that's why we do it and continue to do it. And hopefully, you know, it just keeps rolling along. So yeah, July 22nd to the 25th, Nigel Burton Football Camps, plural.com. And again, please don't let price, you know, deter you from signing your kids up. We can figure it out. We'll find a way.
Now, Nigel, I was a very decent high school football player, but I was not a kid who played youth football. And so, yeah. You know, my senior year, I was all section, okay? And so, like, I got there, okay? But my freshman year was the first time I was really learning football concepts. And so here's my question to
you. You were that kid, John, like running a hitch, and you were like, I'm sorry, what?
Yeah, okay, tell me how to do this. Where do these pads go? What, these are thigh pads. Which way do they go?
Then you have your helmet on backwards.
Yeah. But here's my question for you, because as you were talking about that, I was thinking, gosh, I wish I would have, you know, because my parents were very anti, we don't want you playing youth football in third grade, fourth grade. You know, they wouldn't let me do it. And but if I had had something like this, I'm sure I would have benefited from it, because it would have gave me a taste, right? It would have, here's where you line up. So how suited is the camp to maybe kids that haven't played, but they're decent athletes and they want to come out and get a taste of football?
Yeah, the beauty is it starts off, it's third through eighth grade, and, you know, we've had a couple, you know, six-year-olds who are, you know, really into it, but for the most part, and every kid gets to try every position, and we start with, you know, there's certain parts of where we break it down. It's like, hey, this is how you get in a stance. This is what a stance is supposed to look like. This is how you do it right. Here's how you punt. Here's how you throw. Here's, you know, and then we, as the day progresses and we get towards the end of the day, then we kind of break them up and we let them play different games that just build skills, right? So the younger guys are playing a different type of game than the older kids. And then you'll get the kids who are like, hey, I'm not really comfortable with that. So there's kind of the middle field for that. And we've done it for so long, we kind of have the formula now.
Yeah.
I can't tell you how many emails we've gotten about, hey, thank you. You know, my kid was really intimidated and was worried about going. They didn't know sports, let alone football, and how excited they were, you know, to wake up and go every day, because, you know, they they felt like, you know, they could fit in and learn. And then you had the other kids who were super serious, and they're like in seventh, eighth grade already talking about, like, I want to go to the University of Washington, or I want to play at Oregon. And those kids learned something too. You know, we're able to kind of talk them through and like, all right, hey, these are some things that can make you be, you know, better. So, I think we were able to handle a whole wide range of skill sets and age groups and things like that. And it's been fantastic. So that's why we keep doing it.
Nigel Burton Football Camps. .com. And Nigel Burton, you will see him on the Pac-12 Network this weekend, Oregon State Spring Showcase. 11 a.m., the gates open, 12 p.m., 12 noon, the broadcast on the Pac-12 Network. Nigel Burton, thank you, my friend.
Hey, anytime, John. Thanks, man.
Good stuff there. And he's so right. You know, I'm looking at photos of his camp online at nigelburtonfootballcamps.com, and the kids are there. They're in shorts. They're in T-shirts. For people out there that have a kid that maybe has had no exposure to football, you know, that freshman year was hard. Like, you know, everybody else had pads on. You're learning, you know, learning how to get, you know, run a route, get in a stance. All those things Nigel Burton talks about would have benefited. I would have benefited from that. I got there eventually became a good player. But that freshman year was a big, steep growth curve. I stuck with it mostly because I had friends who were playing who were helping me out, but I think I would have benefited from having a youth sports camp. For those of you out there as well that are interested in a summer camp that is more of a relationship camp, Camp Exceptional is got some limited space available. Camp Exceptional is the summer camp for special needs kids and typical kids. It's inclusive. Stephen Vaughn, your kids have come out there. My kids have participated in the camp. They continue to. And I think a lot of times the typical kids get more out of it than the special needs kids. But it's certainly It's a fun camp, and if you're looking for something to do this summer, this is also in July. It's July 15th through the 19th at LaSalle High School in Milwaukee, 9 a.m. to noon. And Portland State's football players are the camp counselors every year. Give it a look. You can go to campexceptional.com or baldfacedtruth.org. So you have two summer camp opportunities, different weeks, both in July. Nigel Burton's camp, and then, of course, Camp Exceptional. I want you to leave it here. We are going to talk about the apparent, maybe, unhappiness of Damian Lillard.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.